This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za. And now you're listening to Power Perspective with Denzel Taylor, Monday to Thursday, 8 p.m. to midnight. Taking your calls on 0861-987.
The GNU that is being formed will impact your daily life and will impact the way that services and the other are brought to you. You will see a new government and you will see a particular mannerism that will now come from this particular aspect. But of course, we've been here before. We've had government of national unities. We've had coalitions at local government. Anyway, we've seen within various aspects of our political life, we've seen coalitions. Now, whether you want to call it a coalition, grand coalition, GNU, a working relationship, for all intents and purposes, sometimes of a conversation, well, yes, it doesn't really matter. But sometimes it is a matter of technicality and sometimes it is a matter of importance. If you want to prove a point, then you will argue that it is not a GNU, that it is merely a coalition of parties like those at local government that get together, look at ways of working together, and then, you know, they go ahead. As is the case when you don't have, the majority aspect with one political party, you then, you know, clump together and so that you can, in the essence, rule. In essence, maybe it is a coalition, but, you know, various people staying away from various terminology because it does then bring about a particular context and a particular narrative to all of that. Brett Herren, the good party. One of those, obviously, that has now also joined the GNU, let's call it there, the ANC, the DA, the IFP, the PA, good party. And number six, in at the last minute, the PAC. And this, of course, has been said that various political parties will join even at a later stage. Even when everything is sealed and done and the dust is settled, political parties will join at a later stage. Let me bring Brett Herren, Secretary General, good party, and of course an MP as well. But moving into, I'll check that with Brett. Actually, I bumped into Brett at the IEC. Nice to actually chat to him there. Working the numbers with one Yanka Tolmay, who used to be in the building here. So nice to see both of them. Brett Herren, welcome to Power 98.7. Welcome to Power Perspective. Brett, how are you?
I'm good, thanks. How are you, Denzel? Thanks for having me on.
I'm really, really good. Brett, you were crunching the numbers at the IEC, and I saw you, it was, so was everybody else. Let me put it that way. So was everybody else. And then, of course, the results come, and ANC is on 40%, and other political parties get what, they get. But a GNU, a sort of coalition government, not new to the good party. I mean, Patricia de Lille has been there, been in cabinet for a while now. And, I wasn't quite surprised when the good party actually joined the GNU and became part of that. In essence, I thought, why would you not want to? Why would there be reasons not to engage when, previously you had engaged? So was it a natural, fit to find that this was happening and the ANC had reached out to, yes, you previously, but now it had reached out for reasons of its own making, in essence, to more political parties? But you're not a stranger to it for the last, 5 years or so.
Yeah, I think there is a difference. 5 years ago, the ANC didn't need a coalition partner.
Yeah, that difference, is notable, yeah.
And the invitation to Patricia to serve in the cabinet was part of the ANC's tradition that followed on from the first government of national unity, where the president has, four of them have invited members of the opposition, or leaders of opposition parties to serve in the cabinet. without forming a coalition. So we were not in coalition. It was part of that tradition. And so we had to, when we were engaging on the Government of National Unity proposal, it was a completely different engagement because, first of all, there was a prior engagement. There was a discussion around founding principles, the context in which the Government of National Unity was being proposed, and the minimum governing priorities. And that didn't happen in 2019. In 2019, it was a personal request from the president to Patricia. And so there was no engagement or negotiation. It was an invitation, which she accepted after consulting the party structures. This time around, we were presented with, this is the context within which we would like to establish a government of national unity. These are what we think the founding principles should be. These are what the governing priority should be. What is Good's response to it? And we had the opportunity to help frame that government of national unity or the statement of intent.
Some of the aspects would be similar, though, Brett. You know, I mean, I totally understand, you know, the logistic of what you've just put to us, but some of the practicalness, a lot of people potentially could learn a lot of things from engaging in a space like this, and I'm going to put the difficult question to you, with Patricia then having been invited and playing a role and being part of cabinet and engaging within the cabinet space and how government then ultimately works, and then being included in that particular space as well. What do you think, from a political party perspective, would other political parties be able to learn that you would put out and say, you know, these are the best practices sometimes?
Look, I think there are many things that that we've learned over the last 5 years, and Patricia in particular being in the front line, around working collaboratively and leading government departments where the administration is not necessarily committed to the political drive of the political leader. So, I mean, I think part of the big challenge, and we actually put this to the ANC when we met them last Sunday, was that the administration that has to underpin this government of national unity and its program of delivery will need substantial restructuring if we're going to achieve the outcomes of the government of national unity, because the administration is incredibly slow, as Patricia expressed it to the ANC negotiating team from her experience in leading two departments now. And the bureaucracy that has been built over 30 years, and maybe some of it even before, is just not geared for the rapid transformation of our country.
Sure. Then, you know, Brett, you've highlighted, I think, one of the key elements of sitting within that particular space of government is that the administration and the administrators, civil servants and some civil servants, which sometimes, and you can't argue the fact that some are politically aligned, not committed to the drive of that political party or the individual sitting in that particular space. Let me just ask, before I ask, you know, questions to the GNU, how did you and Patricia and the party, just deal with that? Because in essence, too, you know, it was a portfolio that Good had within the government, and you would have wanted to also present and represent the aspects of your political party. How did you get around, you know, administrators, officials, and other who might have not been aligned, as you say, you know, or committed even, you know, to who you would be as the individual sitting in that role? How did you get around that?
Well, I think, I mean, it's a good question, because in the first portfolio that Patricia held, which is in public works and infrastructure, she was the minister who was the custodian of public land and public fixed property buildings. And a foundational pillar of Good's establishment was around spatial justice and that public land should be used for public good. And she managed to release public land for land restitution and land reform purposes, more land in the two or three years that she was in that office than had been released in the 25 years or 20 years before. Mm. And she will tell you that she did it by threatening, by fighting, by, you know, it was a battle. It was not easy. Mm. She said she shares, with, you know, that at one point the president asked how she got it done. She said, "Don't ask me how I got it done. I just got it done." I think the lessons are that the administration needs to be professionalized and depoliticized, and that was one of the. It's in the statement of intent, and it is one of the good party's manifesto points is that. The political leadership needs to play less of a role in the appointment of a professional administration.
Sure, Brett, do you foresee? And it's not within the statement of intent, but one could see movement already, and one understands that there will be movement already. But let me just put another tough question to you. Just looking into you know the way ahead. Do you see municipalities forming part of sort of an agreement of this particular nature? And I'll tell you why I ask that. Is yes, at you know national level, at government level, and then also you know within the provinces, you would have maybe you know a provincial government of national unity. But working relationships begin to overflow and impact other spaces as well. And if it is about a shared commitment to the Constitution and promoting non-racialism and ensuring social justice and equity, non-sexism, you know, and all of these particular terms that we sometimes throw out, then obviously you would want that same kind of ethical, you know, to run through to municipalities as well, which makes sense because it's the tier just below. Do you expect it, in essence, that it would manifest, it would begin to manifest there as well?
I think it may without, not necessarily by design.
Yeah.
I've heard and read in the media that some of the initial negotiations with other parties that didn't come up when we met with the ANC ourselves expressed that they did not want whatever agreement they reached at national level to affect the local government level, but that doesn't mean that there won't be those consequences. Because already, the EFF, for example, which props up some of these municipalities, particularly the metros, the two large metros in Gauteng, are starting to say that you know they're going to withdraw And one of those comments was in response to the firing of the mayoral committee member in Ekurhuleni. Mm. So I think that if the government of national unity starts to work, and if the EFF, for example, threatens to withdraw from some of these coalitions,
they've said that they will draw their MMCs if you know Ekurhuleni was not sorted out. Mm.
So those kinds of threats being followed through, I think as a consequence would result in partners who are talking at a national level to maybe consider talking about particular municipalities where the coalitions are not functioning. Mm.
What does one make, Brett, of a statement of intent to negotiate further? And within that statement of intent, you know, certain things need to happen. For example, the president needs to be elected, the Speaker of Parliament needs to be elected, the Deputy Speaker of Parliament, as we've seen, obviously, that have already happened. And in provinces, we've seen how, you know, KZN in the Northern Cape and in other places where, you know, the aspects of this GNU coalition are beginning to be felt. What does one make of a statement of intent with the with riding on the basis that certain things need to be done within that statement of intent, as I've just pointed out, that those things are already done, and the intent is not yet documented and signed and sealed and put in an envelope? What does one make of the promise of of a promise that, that comes. Is it about good faith in essence then?
I think it is about good faith, and it is also about a constitutional framework that perhaps didn't anticipate coalition governments or coalition governments so soon, because the statement of intent is really a stepping stone in the negotiations towards a government of national unity, where there is a clear policy framework or a clear deliverable plan or delivery plan. But there's no time between the announcement of the election results and what the Constitution requires in terms of the first sitting of Parliament to elect the President and the Speaker. That must happen within 14 days of the results being declared. So we're stuck with the constitutional framework, which requires rapid movement. When meaningful negotiations for coalitions take much longer than the 14 days or the 10 days, or 10 working days. And so I think the statement of intent is a leap of faith. It is fairly detailed in terms of the founding principles and in the minimum governing priorities, as it's called. And parties, I think to some extent, could maybe interpret some of that stuff differently, but we interpreted it in a way that where we felt like we could jump on board. But if you read the statement of intent, it talks about a khotla or strategy session where the detailed policy work will take place, and a national dialogue, which will be extended beyond the government of national unity and include civil society and business. So it is a leap of faith, I think, but it has enough detail for parties to identify whether they can participate or not.
Do you, talking about participate or not, Brett, do you have a view on those political parties who are defining themselves outside of this particular space? You know, I get it, and it's quite a detailed statement of intent, I have to say, as you've just been speaking to it, and I've read the entire document. It goes page after page after page, and at the end of the day, you know, the signatures are there, and it speaks to exactly those particular, you know, issues of consensus. That consensus then fully aligned with party commitments and policies at the end of the day. How do you get to the consensus part when some of the ideologies are as vast differently, you know, when you look at them than that they are? Do you envisage a sort of a inception and an incubation that's going to be quite difficult? Or do you think at the end of the day, the party commitments and policies and hard-edged, you know, stances that people would have taken would somehow within a GNU people would find themselves? How do you see the party commitments, policies and resolutions working within this particular space where one gets down to some really, really crucial stuff at the end of the day?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a very good question, and a question that we raised in our discussion with the ANC, because I mean, before meeting with the ANC and hearing the framework and the context and the principles and the governing program, having our input and then seeing our input reflected in the final document. Mm-hmm. But at that first meeting, we raised questions around how to bridge the ideological divides, because at that point it was before we met with the ANC, the media space was largely dominated by the fact that the DA and the ANC were talking to each other.
Yeah.
And the governing principles and the governing program that the ANC expressed to us when we met with them raised some questions for us, because there were some clear governing program, minimum governing program priorities that the DA had actively campaigned against. Mm. For example, economic transformation in the form of BBBEE.
Yeah.
You know, that's a policy that the DA doesn't support at all. Mm. Minimum wage is something that they've recently come out opposed to. And it's all built into this document. So if they've signed the same document that we've signed, which I assume they have, if we're all signing on to the same thing, then I think the question is, how do they overcome their ideological differences, because the document that we signed, we were very comfortable with, especially after the ANC added in the social security safety net that we wanted. and spatial transformation issues. So that document could almost be the Good Party's manifesto. It's so closely aligned to what we campaigned on. Mm. But there are parties that must explain how they are going to turn their back on what they campaigned on in the interest of national unity. I assume that's how they're going to argue it.
Mm. Brett, you've raised something critical in essence. The ANC and the DA have already put signatures to a particular document. And with that comes a lot of reasoning that you could just project forward, because when the DA would have put their signature to that particular document with the ANC, one already reads something that says, well, the DA doesn't want to work with MK and doesn't want to work with the EFF. And I suppose that the ANC would have agreed to that principle in essence, because why would the DA have signed if the ANC was going to invite MK and the EFF into a place where, you know, the DA says, you know, not in our name will we engage those particular parties. So it's still to be shown to be true, but in essence one can read that into it. It wouldn't be a space, Brett, just based on what you've said, where there is an agreement with you, there's an agreement with the DA, there's an agreement with the PAC, there's an agreement, and in essence, different agreements with the ANC. And there's some form of umbrella that speaks to general and then finer detail that just, you know, deal with. Because I think you've raised a very, very, you know, critical element when a document of generality comes out. How do other political parties play in that space? But you're not foreseeing suddenly something that says, well, we have how many as per number of political parties agreements, right? One with yourselves, one with the PAC. You don't foresee that, right?
No, I don't foresee that. And I think that it would be an act of bad faith that would fundamentally undermine the concept of the government of national unity. And I mean, in your introduction, you correctly say some people are saying it's actually just a coalition. But it's really, I mean, for us, it's the spirit and the context that gives meaning to the title government of national unity, because it comes out of a very divisive election campaign with very low voter turnout. So there was, what we were doing were turning voters off participating, and a election campaign where the results were polarizing along racial identity lines. And so the idea of a government of national unity is to try and prevent that from cementing or developing further. So it would be an act of bad faith if there were various versions of this document, and we understood that we are entering a multi-party government where all of the parties have agreed to the founding principles and the minimum governing priorities. If the minimum governing priorities in our agreement are different to the ones in the DA's agreement, then it's not possible to have a government of national unity.
Brett Herron, thank you so much for coming on to Power Perspective. It's been a pleasure chatting and nice bumping into you at the IEC Centre.
Likewise, thank you.
Thank you so much. That's Brett Herron, General Secretary, Good Party, and of course MP. They've got one person in the National Assembly now. I think that person is Patricia de Lille. I think they've made that particular choice. And I think Brett goes to the provincial. But of course, with a government of national unity, call it coalition, call it grand coalition, you never know. Deputy Minister this, Minister that, whatever it is. So, yeah, we're just going to see how the cards that have been thrown up into the air fall.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.